This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 867, with Allison Baber. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 867. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms stories, tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more powerful, positive, and purposeful lives every damn day. So let's dive in. Allison Baber is a mom, wife, and tenured sales leader with experience in both startups and major public enterprises. Her background spans across chemical engineering, medical device and capital equipment field sales, tech sales, and advisory roles. Currently, Allison serves as the VP of Commercial Sales at Outreach. Previously, she held roles as the head of sales at Melio and helped Zoom scale from 50 million to 4 billion in revenue during the pandemic. Prior to that, she led new business and expansion sales at SendGrid, now Twilio, and various startup teams within Intuit. Allison has a passion for leadership, problem solving, data analytics, and creating clarity and process from chaos. But she can't say no to a good challenge, so she's been an advisor for multiple startups and is an LP at Stage 2 Capital. Allison lives in Colorado with her husband, two children, and a puppy named Baxter. Yes, as in Baxter from Anchorman. In her free time, she enjoys taking advantage of all things Colorado, traveling, having a creative outlet through multiple art mediums, and attempting to learn to ski well past the level of her comfort, which you know I can relate to as someone who has also learned to ski well past the level of her comfort. So I actually met Allison at an event in the fall. I was a speaker and a coach at this event. And shout out to my dear sweet friend, Dana Paik, who helped kind of get all this up and running and then introduced me to Allison. And Allison and I just immediately hit it off. We met up on Zoom in advance of the work I was going to be doing during the main event and just totally had immediate synergy. I was so excited to go in and support her team and her women in sales team during this event. It was fabulous and phenomenal and just such a fun experience. And so from there, I said, "Hey, I'd love to have you come on the show." And so we made it happen, and here she is. And this is a really great conversation. So listen in to hear Allison share how healing her eating disorder in her teens and 20s shaped who she is today as a woman and a leader. How her eating disorder was a coping mechanism for stress, anxiety, uncertainty, and ambiguity. How she got affordable and effective eating disorder help in a surprising place, and ultimately that allowed her to be in recovery for 15 years now, which is such an incredible achievement. How her recovery impacts how she shows up in personal relationships and leads in professional spaces. Her and her husband's winning decision for him to stay home as their kid's primary caregiver while she pursues executive leadership roles. How she is consciously building her own leadership brand. which is like one of my favorite things to talk to leaders about and coach leaders on, by the way. What a leadership brand can look like for highly effective leaders. And this can be like in community leadership, in workplace leadership, in your own business leadership, like in any of the places that we lead, in your household leadership. And then she talks about how she navigates her desire to be respected versus being liked, which, ooh, that's a big one for women. So this was a really great conversation. I'm so grateful to Allison for taking the time. So please help me in joining Allison Baber to the Shameless Mom Academy. Allison, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Sarah. Really great to be here. Thanks for inviting me. What a privilege. Oh,
well, I have to tell, I feel like it's a privilege because I have to tell people how we met. We met through my dear friend, mate Dana, who's been a guest on the show as well. But I got to share the stage with you at a big event a few months ago, and I got to see you like in your zone of genius and just operating at this high level of leadership. And it was so fun and so exciting. So it feels really special to then have it come full circle for you to come and be a guest on the show, and you get to sit like on my stage.
Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful to share that stage with you and now share this stage with you. But I think from our very first conversation, like we just had so many things that we can connect on. And so I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Yes, yes. And I laugh with my audience and when I have various guests on where I can always tell like in a pre-interview where I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And we did a pre-interview for me being on your stage months ago. And it was like, oh, this is going to be great. So this part two will be great as well.
We could talk for hours. So
yes,
we'll probably have our own follow-up after the podcast.
Totally.
Be lifelong friends. So that'll be fun.
Yes. So I want to dig in and let's start where we always start on the show with the dynamics of your personal and professional life a little beyond your bio and anything you're really excited about right now.
Right now, since it's a Friday, I'm kind of excited about the weekend, but I have been traveling. Last week I was traveling, this week I was in Atlanta, next week I'm going to be in Seattle, and I reside in Denver. So anytime I can have kind of a low-key weekend, I really love that. So that's in my immediate future what I'm excited about. But I think for me, what I'm excited about just professionally is we're kicking off our fiscal year February 1st. And so we've just got so many like exciting things ahead at the company. We've had a lot of change this past year, which I think a lot of companies have had. It was just kind of a wonky time, like in the economy and in tech in general, but I'm really looking forward to what's to come. I've had the good fortune of hiring some really amazing leaders recently that we were able to backfill and hire into some really strategic roles. And I'm really excited to work with them in my immediate team. And then from a more senior team, we've hired some really amazing talent across the company. And I just love learning from others and from their experiences. And I think that's just a part of my journey overall is I'm always looking to grow as an individual and as a professional. And I love working with people with diverse backgrounds. And so that's kind of what's most exciting for me right now, professionally, I guess, if that makes sense. So
I love that. I love the, and I think this is so relatable. I love the like big excitement around these big things that are happening in a company and leadership. And like, these seems like big rocks and big things to be excited about at this point in 2024. But then also I'm just excited because it's Friday and like mama needs a nap.
Well, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, like, yes, I'm excited to just like cozy up. It is Denver in the middle of the winter. It's a little chilly here. And my husband and I just started a new show together last night, which it's always challenging to like find those shows that you both
want
to watch. So I'm kind of looking forward to a Friday evening too, where I'm like in my PJs watching a show, maybe doing a family movie night or something like that. So when you ask me that, I'm like, I can think of like two things that may or may not be relevant, but they're completely like unrelated in very different ends of the spectrum too. But
I think that's like the juxtaposition of motherhood and career, right?
Yes.
Where you're like, I just want to like snuggle. And then I also want to be like in charge of the people and the decisions and the leader and like the CEO and the decision maker and all the, and I love that those things get to coexist and that we get to have these really, really heightened experiences, but that they're so different and they add so much, I think so much value to our lives, but also they're soul filling as well.
I agree with that. And I guess a couple companies ago at our women at the company ERG, and they were asking about balance and like, how do you balance it all? How do you like, what does your work-life balance look like? And I just said, I think I've come to this realization that I don't know if there's actually such a thing as work-life balance. I think that actually throws it off for me if I try to live to that standard. I think there's more like work-life integration and like finding joy in a number of different areas of your life so that you can feel balanced and fulfilled, even though things are usually for me especially, like out of whack and out of balance. But you know, having time to like spend with my family or like getting excited about those things can be just as exciting as getting excited about things at work too. But integrating the both of them, I think, is really important at times also. Like there's not necessarily a cutoff of like, sometimes there is, but oftentimes there's not, like when you leave work and when there's home and you know,
Right.
being
Yeah,
back.
the overlap is real.
Yeah, exactly. So
Yes,
anyway,
and we'll get
that
into more of
was a
that in
little
a
bit of a tangent.
no, that which is perfect because we're going to dig into that in a minute for sure. I want to back up a little bit before work and career, even before kids. I would love to talk a little bit about when we initially spoke a number of months ago now, you just like kind of casually, we started mentioning like health and wellness and both kind of coming from this background. And then we started talking about mental health and we have all this alignment. And one of the things that we thought would be fun to talk about in this conversation is your health and healing journey and what that has looked like for you. You have, I mean, everyone has their own very specific version of what their health has looked like for them over the years, whether it's mental health or physical health or a combination of both, and how that impacts where they're at today. But you have gone on this really specific healing journey on the back end of some significant health stuff. Can you walk us through a little bit of that and talk about how that has been a significant piece of who you are today?
Oh, I love this question so much because I feel like I'm an open book around this topic. And the reason why I'm an open book around it is because through that experience and through the healing, like I really was able to find connection. And I think through vulnerability comes connection. And without that experience, I wouldn't have been able to be the leader, the mom, the wife that I am today, the friend, the sister, the daughter, like all of the things. But really, I think it's helped me show up in my daily life so much better. So I think maybe what you're alluding to is I struggled with an eating disorder for quite a good portion of my late teens, early to mid 20s, actually. And now I know so much about why that is. But during that time, I was really shameful, I think, around it. Like I always felt like it was something that I should be able to control, that I should be able to get over, that I should be able to, you know, do this on my own. I didn't really understand like why I was necessarily even in that place. Like I was healthy and strong and like smart and educated. And I felt like, why is this the thing that I have a struggle with? And really, what I found from that experience that was, you know, reaching out and asking for help was the hardest initial step to take. But once I actually got traction and momentum in that journey and asking for help, it made me so much more comfortable with the relationship that I have with myself. It allowed me to really open up and understand that I'm not alone in so many ways. Like, and that really my eating disorder was more of a coping mechanism than it was anything else, because I had never really learned healthy coping mechanisms for stress or anxiety or unknowns or ambiguity or any really a lot of other things that come up in life. And so that journey was really crucial in terms of creating and developing the type of person I am today. And I am so grateful for that experience. And I know it sounds maybe a little silly to say that I'm so grateful for having that eating disorder, because it just opened my eyes to not only a community, but a way of like living my life and like handling challenges that come their way now, and like just how I communicate openly, I guess, about a lot of different areas, not just about my eating disorder, fortunately, which I'm very grateful to be in recovery now for, gosh, probably 15 years or so.
Wow.
So for me, you know, it's just been a blessing, I guess, in that way. And so many things on that journey play a crucial role into who I am as a leader, a mom, a daughter, a sister, a wife, et cetera, today. So.
Thank you for sharing that. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder, so if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. You use some really specific words and a concept that I think is really important to call out. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about people and eating disorders on the show before in various ways and to varying degrees. And I don't know that I've ever had someone really explicitly say my eating disorder was a coping mechanism because I didn't have other better coping mechanisms in place to manage stress, anxiety. And then you said the word ambiguity, which I love because I think a whole bunch of people listening, including myself, are like, oh, I hate ambiguity. Like, I don't care what the thing is. Just tell me if it's going to be the worst case, just tell me it's the worst case so I can start figuring things out. But the not knowing, which has been what's been so hard, I think, for people over the last handful of years since 2020, that can be incredibly challenging. And if you don't have skills in place to manage those feelings and those sensations, then yes, we do turn to other ways of coping that can be really, really detrimental. It's more common than we think, and sadly, pretty common with young women, young girls and young women. But I also think this is happening with middle-aged women too. I don't think that eating disorders are, and women having eating disorders and using many of those habits and behaviors as coping mechanisms is something that's isolated to younger people. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that recognition and how you asked for help for anyone who might be recognizing, like, oh, wow, this is something that maybe might be something that's relevant in my life right now. And where does one start?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm so happy to be able to share this and, you know, help anyone else that may be experiencing this or not being sure of where to turn. I think for me, and I'll talk a little bit about this after I talk about how I asked for help, but I just realized how much my eating disorder was really not the root of it, but it was, like I mentioned before, like the coping mechanism, but also like now I can understand all of the triggers that go along with that. So let me start from the beginning though. And I think growing up, I grew up in the Midwest in a blue collar area, and like asking for help or even really talking about your emotions was not something that was really common. I didn't see a therapist ever until my early 20s. And I think even the stigma around that, gosh, 20 years ago, was so much different than what it is today. And it's so much more widely accepted. But for me, I always looked at going to therapy as, wow, you must really have serious problems or things that you just can't figure out on your own. Like it just was not widely accepted in my family and my inner circle or anything like that. And that for me was really the turning point. And I only saw that therapist for a couple sessions, honestly, because it wasn't really a great fit, and which I think can be its own challenge, honestly, of finding the right therapist. And just sometimes this the feeling of overwhelm that comes with that, it just seems almost daunting to try to find a person that fits for you. So I just remember being in that session, and it was a referral from a friend who was also going to see that therapist at the time. And so just having, again, a connection or having someone share with me that, hey, it's okay to see a therapist, kind of open that door. And then the therapist asked me, why do you have an eating disorder? And I said, why are you bulimic? That was my eating disorder of choice, although I've dabbled in quite a few different areas. But I said, well, I want to be skinny. And she said, no, that is not usually why people have an eating disorder. And so it really got me in tune with, wow, I'm so disconnected from like really where and why this is coming up for me. And she recommended Overeaters Anonymous. And I looked at her when she recommended that and I said, oh, I'm sorry, you must have misheard me. I want to be skinny and I am bulimic. I don't have a problem with like overeating. And really, that was the catch-all program, though, for most people that have eating disorders. And eating disorders can show up in so many different ways. And really, I do tend to overeat when I'm stressed, but the way that I dealt with it was not normal. And so I really dove into a 12-step program journey for a really long time. And for me, at that point in my life, like that's what worked for me because I was living in a really expensive part of the city. I didn't actually have a lot of money for therapy. And one of the things that they would say in the rooms was it's really a dollar or two per meeting therapy session. And the community that I felt in those rooms, the recovery that I was able to find, the ways to actually healthfully and healthily, I guess, deal with the things that come up in everyday life is just such a gift. And I still incorporate, even though I'm not active in a 12-step program, I still incorporate so many of those tools in the toolkit in that journey for me. So that's what worked for me. I'm also very open in sharing that I see a therapist weekly. I also have consulted business and leadership coaches along the way too that maybe fill in different gaps for me that my therapist doesn't, but I am no longer afraid to talk about going to therapy openly. I think it's actually something really important that people should be able and confident and comfortable asking for help that they need that they may not be able to get in their day-to-day from the people or themselves that they interact with. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I started.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so helpful. I think a bunch of people listening probably had that same response that you had, like Overeaters Anonymous. Wait, what? Like that's not the right spot. And it's so interesting sometimes when we have preconceived notions of what something is or is not, that we're like, oh, that's not the thing or that's not the right fit. And then we find ourselves in rooms and we find that we can identify with people or identify with illnesses that we 100% thought we like was not, that was not the room for us to be in. And I've had a number of friends be in those situations with other kinds of addiction and recovery spaces. And I think it's such, from what I've heard, that's it's such a humbling experience, but also, as you mentioned, this huge, huge gift to be able to find something where you find your people and you can, people are able to meet you where you're at because they're there too. And that's really different than a family member who's not in the same spot or even a, you know, an outside therapist who's not in the same spot, but being able to really sit in it with people who are in that same place in their lives is, it makes all the difference.
And the reason I said it worked for me at that point in my life was because it was a very affordable option. And I think that mental health is sometimes perceived as being a very expensive thing these days that isn't necessarily always covered by traditional healthcare programs or insurance or, but there are other options out there if you're seeking them and feeling overwhelmed by the cost of care. For me, I wasn't quite at the point where I needed an inpatient or even an outpatient recovery program, which also seemed really daunting and expensive. And I had a full-time job that I was very proud of, I guess, and like very invested in. And so even just trying to think of ways that I could incorporate recovery into like my life seemed overwhelming. So I'm just so grateful that I found a program that was able to work. And I know that there are a lot of different, avenues that could work for others. And that's really just what worked for me at that time.
I think it's really important to pay attention to the experiences that we've had earlier in our lives and the things that we've overcome. And this is something when I'm working with groups and teams, something that I have people do a lot. And I think when we first get started, they're like, why are we like talking about our personal histories in a team training? But what's so interesting is when we do look at these things, and not because we need to share all of these intimate details in the middle of a work meeting, but when we just mentally note them or jot them down on a piece of paper for private use only in a team environment, when we can look back at those things and recognize where we've come from, it can give us such a stabilizing sense of power moving forward. And I love that you mentioned that there's things that today, many years later, that you're able to take from the 12-step recovery process and apply to how you show up in different ways today. I'm sure this impacts your leadership, which I'm going to ask you about in a minute, but I'm sure this has also impacted the way that you want to show up and help other people, throughout your life and the different things that you've done in roles outside of the work that you're currently doing. And so I think we can be quick to either minimize or completely dismiss things that we've gone through by chance in our past. And sometimes those are the things that are like our secret weapons to being really successful moving forward. And I always want to invite people to look at those things. And when I do this in group environments, in corporate settings, people are like, oh my gosh, like, I never thought about it. And then they're like, okay, now I'm going to ask for the promotion.
It's really interesting to hear you say that too, because I think that comes up in two ways or brings two thoughts to the forefront of my mind. One, I don't think if I wouldn't have gone through that recovery and been a healthier version of myself, I don't think I ever would have met my husband, because he was such a healthier version of most of the men that I was attracting at that time that he probably wouldn't have been attracted to me in my previous state. And then the other way that it comes up is like I now look at that experience and so many different components of my life and my journey overall as strengths versus weaknesses. And that's really when you talked about like it's made me into the leader that I am today, it's also made me the mom and the wife that I am today. Like I look at things so differently now with my daughter that I wish I would have had growing up, or I wish I would have had from, people in my life. And the same thing now as a leader. I used to shy away from the fact that I grew up in a blue collar area, that I was one of the, if not, I was the first person in my immediate family to graduate from college, that I actually didn't have a lot of money growing up, that I have struggled financially in quite a few different areas of my life growing up. And like, instead of looking at that as a weakness, I now have compassion for myself and others and my mom and dad. And, I use that as a point that propels me forward instead of like holding me back, I guess, if that makes sense. So.
It's so interesting the things that we carry shame or discomfort around when we're younger, that then we look at later and be like, these are actually things that are really helpful. And I appreciate you mentioning your family's background. I grew up going to private schools, but only because I was able to get pretty much full scholarships everywhere because I was raised by a single mom who had connections in the private school community where I was living. And I was so self-conscious. Like, I was always so worried that someone was going to find out that I was quote unquote poor. And I was not poor, by the way. I was middle class, but relative to some of the kids at the schools I was going to, I felt poor. Like, I mean, I would just not have all the fancy clothes and the fancy cars. And I mean, I had everything I needed, but I didn't have all these extras. And I was always watching other people, like thinking, what is it like? What is it like that their life is that they have that new red car? Like, what is it like to
Oh my
live in
gosh.
that big house? And now I can look back and I'm so grateful that I had to be scrappy in all these different ways to get the things that I wanted, because it's made me like I can be real scrappy still and I can make anything I want happen because of it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That 100% resonates with me. Like I grew up in a two-parent household, but I didn't even know what I didn't have growing up until I went to college, because everyone in my immediate like hometown environment was in a similar situation, or I felt actually like I had quite a bit, or it just everything seemed normal. And it just kind of put it into perspective for me that kind of what you said, like what you see from the outside and like what maybe you would want for isn't necessarily what the reality always is in some of those situations. And that really changed my perspective and just allowed me to have gratitude for the past and then also in the present for what I had, and just being happy for what I have and not comparing myself to others, I
I
guess.
love that. We're totally keeping that in. We're not
Well, thank you, but
as long as
it
your
really
husband's cool
changed
with
my thoughts on
it.
things too, so.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting. I love that you brought up your husband because I wanted to bring us in this direction anyway. So you have this incredible job where you're working many hours and oftentimes in many states. And
Yeah.
so when we met a while ago, you were telling me that your husband stays home with the children and you're growing your career in all these really, really cool ways. And I think this is another really interesting thing to talk about. When we talk about women in leadership, we don't see this very often. We often see the exact opposite. And I would love to know a little bit about your career path and what it's been like growing in these really incredible and impressive leadership roles and having a partner whose way of supporting you is being home with the kid. Like that's his role in the family. And that's sadly counterculture in many ways. And I'm curious what that has felt like for you all and anything else you want to share about that experience.
Yeah, I'd love to share on that. I think growing up in the way that I looked at that, which I've had to change over time, and I think this is maybe I'm hopeful that a lot of other people have the same experience where they look at their childhood and maybe how they grew up and either wanted to or thought things would work out the same or wanted to completely change it. And for me, I didn't have the example growing up where people or where that my parents didn't travel for work. They were home every single night. My dad got home at 4:30, which gave him the flexibility and ability to coach a lot of our teams. And my mom worked in the home and was always there. She was a room parent and on the PTO and like did all of these amazing things for us growing up. And so for me, in the roles that I'm in right now, I struggle with the wants of having that same like experience for my kids, but not actually being able to do it in the same capacity. And so my husband, I guess, has he wanted to do this. This was not even something necessarily that we talked about, knowing that I would be in the position that I am. However, he had a very lucrative career. He's done a lot in his professional life. He started his own business. He was number 31 at a startup company. We were able to move to Denver for him to open an office for that company. And I was luckily able to transfer with the company that I was with at the time. And he took on a lot of different roles at that company and moved into leadership and then moved back to being an individual contributor when he realized that he liked that component better and really missed the camaraderie of, being in the team instead of, supporting the team. But for me, I've always loved leadership and wanting to continue to grow and develop my career. And so transparently, when the pandemic hit, we would have these conversations and I was working at Zoom actually at the time during the pandemic, which
Oh my
was
gosh.
really rewarding in a lot of ways. And
That's like a whole nother interview to be working at Zoom during the pandemic. But go ahead.
I mean, I'm really grateful for just the opportunity at Zoom overall. I worked there from 2016 to 2021. So during the pandemic, it was a very rewarding and exciting time, but it was also a really challenging time, just, kind of seeing the world panic in real time. And if you remember back to the earlier part of this interview, I don't necessarily always do really well with unknown and not being able to control the future. I'm a type A control freak. I've come to accept that about myself instead of wanting people to perceive me as being laid back. And, during the pandemic, he just kept saying, like, I'd really love to get to a point where maybe we both don't have to grind it out anymore, or maybe we can both work part-time. And this kept coming up quite a bit. And finally, one night I just said to him, like, if you want to work part-time, or if you want to take a step back, or if you want to do something different, I really support you in that. But for me, what motivates me is I get a lot of satisfaction out of working. I get a lot of satisfaction out of growing my career and feeling accomplished. And then he said, you wouldn't resent me if I did that. And I said, I would resent you if you didn't do that because you would actually not be following like your dreams and what's important to you. And so he left in May of 2022 and he wanted to stay at home with the kids. He wanted to volunteer more at their school. He really wanted to take a more active role in their lives. And they're at a point now where they were going to school more full time and they weren't so young anymore that we needed or wanted to have a nanny. And so he took some time to do that. And he also started an almond farm on his parents' land or his father's land
Oh my
that he had
gosh.
wanted to do for so long. And I was really grateful to be able to support him in that. But he also was really supportive in me in terms of climbing the corporate ladder and not thinking that I have to be home every single night or be on the PTO or PTA or whatnot. And he really wanted to take the role of like coaching our kids' teams and volunteering more at their schools. And while I would love to do those things, it doesn't fit in the way that my life is structured right now. I'm not going to say that it may never fit or that I may never want to do that 100%, but right now it just doesn't align. And so I'm grateful for the support that he's given me to fulfill my dreams, but also I do feel like I've supported him in that way as well. We kind of are a good balance and a good team, and he always says that we each have our own strengths, and I think that has allowed me to continue to like lean into more of those strengths or areas that I'd like to develop, and has allowed him to do the same.
I love how this is so values aligned that like the two of you are kind of coming at this into this conversation and decision making process with like, here's what's important to me right now. Here's what's important to me right now. What's important to us collectively, and then making decisions from that standpoint. And then it feels like everyone gets to win. And that's not to say that that always happens every time we bring our needs to the table, but I love that how you were able to navigate that so that it felt like you both got what you wanted, what you needed for this season. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS, and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com, and use the promo code SHAMELESS. That's airdoctorpro.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. I also love your openness around, sure, I would love to be more involved at school and those kinds of things, but that's just not, it's, and I like to say that's not my yes right now. Like that's not the thing that you're choosing to say yes to right now, because you're saying yes to other things. And one of the things I wanted to make sure we had a chance to dig into is building your leadership brand. And I think one of the things I want to be talking with women leaders about more and more is how we conscientiously and really intentionally build our own leadership brands. And I think sometimes we're so busy getting through the day to day and we're like crossing things off of our box, you know, checking boxes, getting things done. And we're being of service to others to make sure that they're seeing that we're doing the things that we can do to rise to the next level. That we're not being really conscientious around what am I building, why am I building it, how am I intentionally showing up. And one of the things that I've noticed in the few instances that we've gotten to spend time together is that you are, whether or not you know it, you are definitely building a leadership brand and you're showing up in really intentional ways. And I noticed that when we had our first conversation, when we did the pre-meeting for the event where we shared the stage, I noticed it when we were on stage that day. I noticed it in things that you said before we hit record today, and things you've said in this conversation, that there's just ways that you show up and that you're building out your roles in leadership in really specific ways. And I would love to know how conscious or unconscious that has been. And then also where you see that going, like what you want that to look like moving forward.
Well, thank you for that. I love that you recognize some of that. I'm also curious what you recognize because I think some of it does feel very unconscious in some ways. And I'm always curious to see,
I'll let you finish and then I'll tell you.
and hear from
No,
others' perspectives. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You don't have to
no,
tell me,
no.
but I think it's something that I'm always trying to develop, honestly. And I think for me, I've always taken more of a leadership approach ever since I was a young kid. I mean, this comes out like I can remember times when I always wanted to be the mom playing house. I always wanted to be the teacher when we played school. I always wanted to be like a boss growing up. And I know that I've heard, many things that said, like, if your daughter is bossy, like tell them they have leadership capability, whatever. I actually wanted to be a boss. Like I didn't know any other term for it, but I've just always wanted to be in leadership. And for me, that's just whether it's leading a team at a company or leading in some other way, like I think it comes naturally to me. I don't necessarily love to be the center of attention, but I do like to be more in, I do like to be in a take charge type of role. And I think there are nuances there. So I think for me, how I try to consciously show up and how to be intentional around my leadership is, I guess I've been in sales leadership now for about, gosh, 12 years, maybe 12 or 13 years. Don't do any math on that, but, even when I was an engineer right out of like college, I was given like pretty good amount of responsibility pretty quickly. So even when I, was leading teams of men when I was an engineer, candidly, like that were 40 years older than me in some instances, like I tried to approach leadership from a place of like curiosity. Like I always want to learn. I always want to see how I can help and show up as a leader that tries to remove obstacles or barriers versus like adding more to their plate. Maybe some of my current team is rolling their eyes. I don't know if I always do the best job of that, but that is usually my intention. I think the second thing that really shifted for me many years ago that I think was maybe what some leaders, especially female leaders, struggle with is I don't know if it was a goal or, but when I shifted my desire, I guess, from being liked to being respected, it really changed the way that I led. The more senior that you get, the more difficult decisions that you have to make, the more people that you have to make decisions for or on behalf of, and the more people ultimately, potentially, that you're going to disappoint or that you're not going to be able to make everyone happy. And I think when I first moved into leadership in a very traditional like sales leadership role, I went from being a peer to being a leader of a team. And that was challenging. Like I really wanted to be friends with everyone and I really wanted to maintain that close relationship. But it was really difficult for me to balance the both, or I took the swing too hard the other way and like really tried to be too professional and didn't really allow myself to get to know my team on a more human or personal level. And so for me, I try to balance both. I really want to get to know my team in a very true, authentic, transparent way without crossing the line of being too personal. I try to be more vulnerable and personal myself so that like that allows them, or I hope it allows them to be able to trust me. And so I share things that I feel comfortable sharing that I've gotten to a place where I can be my true authentic self, similar to what we talked about earlier in the podcast around my struggles around my eating disorder or just other, challenges around my mental health journey around with anxiety or ADHD or being a type A perfectionist or whatever that looks like. But for me, when I shift really made that mindset shift from being liked to being respected, those things can also both be true, but it also opens the door for integrity. And I think with, being in a leadership role, I try to do everything with integrity. And sometimes it leads to a decision that not everyone will like or that not everyone benefits from. But if I have that foundation of trust and respect, I hope that they can understand that sometimes those decisions are things that either had to be made for the business or had to be made for the greater good of the team or the greater good of whatever it is. And I think that's just where I've really been able to ground myself from a leadership perspective around that respect component more so than the likability component, because I know that I'm not for everyone, and I've had to come to terms with that. And I know that I don't personally like everyone that I interact with in my daily life either. And that's okay. But I think from a respect standpoint, I try to like have integrity and respect and trust at the foundation of what I do. But
Love all that so much. I'm going to tell you what I've seen over time that's going to like reinforce your leadership brand because that'll be fun. But I also really quickly, I don't know how woo-woo you are. I've had my
Well,
birth
I'm pretty
chart
woo.
read.
I like all
Okay.
of that stuff too. Yeah.
Okay. Have you had your birth chart read?
I don't think so. I think I've like looked at it on an app in terms of like my sun and moon sign. Is that where you're talking about
Okay.
like that
Yes.
with my
So
birthday and my birth time? But
yes.
okay.
I had this done. I've had it done twice. I had it done in Sedona with by someone who a psychic who I it was a very strange experience. So I was like, I don't know if that was real. And then I had it done by someone who I really trusted, who is a professional organization where we were both in. And it totally lined up with the woman in Sedona. So I was like, okay, like that was all legit. But what they both said was, you can't not be a leader. It is like so strong in everything that we're seeing here that you have to be like, it's just in you. It's part of your DNA. It's who you are. And it was so helpful for me to hear that because before I had heard that with such clarity, I sometimes felt like maybe I'm being too much, or maybe I'm being too loud, or
Yeah.
taking up too much space, or maybe this isn't what people want. And then when I was like, oh no, this is who you were born to be, that comes with a lot of responsibility if I want to do it in a way where I'm like, you know, staying in integrity and being discerning and also making space for other people.
Yeah.
But it helped me see that this is where I need to be. And I can't, I don't want to, nor should I try to fight that.
Yeah, I love that. I think it comes back to like being accepting of who you are and not
Yeah.
trying to be someone else. And when I've tried to, again, be more accepting of myself and realizing that I'm not really that like laid back person. I joke with my husband that I'm not really type A. I'm kind of type A minus. And he's like, what does that even mean? And I'm like, well, I'm not really fully type A. I'm kind of laid back. And he's like, Allison, you are like type A plus. Like, I'm like, so we joke
I'm
about
type A
that.
plus.
Yeah. And I think like just leaning into that though, like what they were talking about from a leadership perspective, I think just it brings out more authenticity that will really connect with the people that are meant for you. And
Yeah.
so I love that you did that. And I would
Yeah.
love that person's name because now I'm curious, but
Oh, I will. It's Leslie Tagorda. I can set you up. She was a guest on the show a while ago now, but she's
love that.
phenomenal. So I want to point out what I've seen because these are the things I think that will be helpful for our audience to pay attention to as well. There's when I'm talking to leaders and when I'm noticing how people interact with people, whether it's in our interpersonal relationships or like I notice this with like school moms as much as I do when I'm going into a corporate environment. It's words that people use in certain ways is what I notice. And then it's also how people make space for others that back up then backs up their words. And so I noticed your openness, your transparency, and your vulnerability, but that wasn't just like random vulnerability. It in conversation, you are really forthcoming and saying, it's important to me to be vulnerable. So here I now, and now I'm going to be vulnerable. Like you're using that language as you're moving into in and out of those moments of vulnerability. Also, you mentioned, and I noticed this in your behaviors when we got to share the stage, that you are a deep observer and a learner, that you love learning. And so when someone's invested in learning and eager to learn more, then it keeps us open to other people and it keeps us in that curious phase, which is another word that you've used today. So it keeps us in that curious phase. And I think curiosity and compassion are like the two of the cornerstones of leadership, because if you can be curious and continue to learn about people and why people are doing certain things or why someone might be making a decision one way versus another, or how people might be interacting in different ways for certain reasons, like that is always going to lead you to seeing more things and then being able to support people in different ways. So I think that part is really important. And then something else that you shared was around appreciating people's differences and different experiences. And I think that all of those pieces, like all it takes for me to pick up on someone's leadership and their leadership brand is like dropping a few words, but then backing it up with a few actions. And I think that when we, as we're all aspiring to be leaders in whatever area of our life we're trying to lead in, with whether we're doing this in our household management or when we're doing it in the workplace or in our businesses that we're running, I think that paying attention to those words that we're using and then really thinking through how am I backing that up with action And you're clearly doing that in both ways. That doesn't mean you're doing it perfectly all the time, but you're doing it,
I
you know,
definitely
you
am
do.
not doing it perfectly every time, all the time. I will tell you that.
So with that, I want to ask you our final question. I'm so sad this is over, by the way, because we
I
have
am
so
too. I'm
many
like,
more
I wish there
things.
were more questions and more time. I'm just
I
gonna have
know.
to.
I want to, we'll have to do a part two at
I would
some
love
point.
that.
And then we can get into mental health because I know we have like a lot of things we
Yeah, I would
have
always love to
overlapping.
chat through that because I think reducing that stigma and just again letting people in to like my journey in the hopes of helping somebody else on their journey is always really important for me.
Absolutely. As we get ready to wrap here, can you tell people how you are currently showing up as a shameless mom?
Oh gosh, this is, I'm gonna try not to cry because I feel like right now I'm not showing up in a lot of ways as like I'm feeling like a shameful mom more so than a shameless mom. But one of the ways, and I'll kind of go back to like talking about the weekend, for me, I really try to make intentional time with my kids. That is, I'm not doing anything else but spending time with them. And we have like mommy daughter dates or mommy son dates. And we do things that are just really one-on-one. We also do things that are just, not me on my phone, but we have a family movie night, for example. And my kids, they call it that now. We have a tradition where we make popcorn and put like M&Ms on top or marshmallows or other candy. I think they really eat it for the candy, not the popcorn. But
Of course.
it's just our tradition. So when I am home and not traveling and not working, I really try to be present for a few hours every night where I can. Again, I still don't do that perfectly, but I think that's really what's important to me showing up as a shameless mom right now. My daughter and I love to do crafts together. And so we have a craft that we're doing this weekend that we're really excited about. I always joke that I have the hobbies of an 80-year-old woman because I am, we do embroidery together. And so we've signed up for this little like embroidery project that's online and we're excited about it. And so that's how I'm trying to show up is just to be intentional with my time with my kids. And I guess, I mean, that goes into my time with my husband too, but really around that being that shameless mom. And because I can't be there every day for them at school or on the pickup or drop off, I try to be with them when I can on the weekends and after work.
I love it. So people can go and connect with Allison. If you go to shamelessmom.com, click on the episode with Allison Baber. You can click through to her. We'll have her LinkedIn linked up there, LinkedIn linked up, and people can click right through and connect with you on LinkedIn.
Great.
Allison, thank you so much for being here. This has been so incredible. I appreciate you, and I appreciate all the ways that you're modeling leadership in so many different ways,
Thank you,
but also
Sarah.
modeling shameless vulnerability and shameless curiosity and shameless leadership at the same time. Thank you for being here, and come back anytime, please.
Oh gosh, be careful what you wish for because I will be back. And it was so great. Really, really
I can't
great
wait.
with you again. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. It is always a pleasure and a total honor to be in your ear. Please make sure you are subscribed to or following this show on whatever podcast platform you're using. This ensures that you never miss an episode. You can find everything related to the Shameless Mom Academy at shamelessmom.com, and you can inquire about my speaking, consulting, and coaching services where I help women leaders, small business owners, and organizations build thought leadership and communication confidence over at sarahdean.com. That's Sarah, no H, SARADEAN.com, sarahdean.com. Until next time, know that I appreciate you so, so much, my friend.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.